And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers, sisters in Christ, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, Paul does not want you to be in doubt here. The word "if" here does not mean maybe, as in, you know, maybe God is for you, maybe he isn't, but if he is. No, this is the end of an argument that Paul has been making for three chapters at this point, and the force of what he's writing here is along the lines of, since God is for us. And how do we know that God is for us? How do we know that he's on our side, that he takes up our cause? Well, he gave his son as a sacrifice for sin. He has justified us by grace through faith. He has joined us to the Son's resurrection through the waters of holy baptism. And he has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that being chosen and called and justified, we might also be glorified by sharing in Jesus' glory. That's all rather breathtaking. Now, whenever predestination comes up, all sorts of worries can get raised, mostly along the lines of, how do I know whether or not I've been chosen? And the short answer to that is simply, are you baptized? Do you believe? If you can answer either or both of those questions with a yes, then it is because you are called and chosen. There is no faith, no baptism, apart from God making it so. So with that settled, we can now just move on to what all of this actually means for us. So the first thing it means is that you're treasured. Consider the parables from our gospel reading. When Jesus speaks of the kingdom of heaven, he is speaking of God's active work to bring forth his grace and order into this broken world here and now. And of course, all of that centers on Jesus and his work to redeem and to restore. He is the one who sells all that he has in order to buy the field that has that hidden treasure. He is the merchant who sells all that he has in order to get that one pearl of great value. He is the net who gathers in all kinds of fish. And we, you are the treasure. You are the pearl. You are the good fish. Jesus gave all that he had to make you his. This is the good news. This is the proof that you are treasured and loved. You don't have to worry about how you feel. You don't have to examine your life to see what kinds of fruit you're producing. Just look to Jesus. Look at what he has done and is doing to make you his. Listen to what he says to you. You are treasured. And because you are treasured, you can be assured that all things are working together for your benefit according to God's purpose. God knows what he's doing, even if you and I don't always grasp it. And what he is working in your life is for your ultimate good. For you are chosen, you are treasured. There is a kind of quiet confidence that fills the hearts of the faithful. It's not a braggadocious recklessness, but it is a confidence that all will be well, even in the midst of the dark night, even in the midst of troubled times. And again, it comes from knowing God, from knowing Jesus, and all that he has done and is doing. This is why St. Paul can write that God will graciously give us all things, graciously, as a gift of his love. You can't earn anything. It's all free because God has given us his Son. And because he gave the Son, there's no longer any charge against you. It doesn't matter what sins may have entangled you, what vices you were given over to, or even the temptations that plague you, or the weaknesses that still cause you to stumble today. Whatever the law had to say against you has come to an end in Christ. In him, you are justified. You are reckoned as righteous. You are forgiven. The only one who could condemn you, Jesus, the Holy One, died for you and is raised for you and sits at the Father's right hand interceding for you. He takes your needs, your joys, your sorrows, your trials, your pain, and he prays for you. Which means that no matter what we experience in this world, distress, persecution, danger, famine, death, in all that, we still have Christ's love, his grace, his life, and so we can pass through all of it, knowing that none of it can separate us from him who loves us. You are treasured, you are given to be confident in Christ, and if you are trained, because you are trained in the kingdom, Jesus says you are like a householder who brings out of his treasure what is old and what is new. So what is this treasure? treasure that you have. It's nothing less than Christ. And what's this business of bringing out the old and the new? It's simply dwelling on God's word, on his promises, on his admonitions, spoken by the prophets of old and brought to light fully in the proclamation of the apostles, who share with us the very word of Christ. We grasp the meaning of the prophets in the Son, and we know the Son by the promises given to the fathers. And so what does all this lead to? Well, nothing less than a life of reflecting God's glory in what you say and what you do. Think of how many times St. Paul was inspired to set forth the basics of the Christian life to the congregations under his care after he had given them the gospel. Given what has been done for us, given what has been done to us, what manner of life ought we live in Christ? And this is not about bringing back the law to judge and to condemn, but it's a matter of reflecting on the freedom we have in Christ simply because we want to do what is good. Now, Paul was writing to folks who had the good news when it was still quite new. Many, if not all, of the folks that he wrote to could remember the time before they came to know Jesus, before they were brought to faith. They knew the kinds of lives they once lived, wrapped up in superstition, pride, self-righteousness, lust, greed, anger, and so on. And so Paul could point at their former lives and say, you see what you once wore? Turn away from that. Don't do it anymore. Live in the light. Walk in the ways of God. With us, it's some ways a little harder to get clear on what exactly we've been given. Most of us were raised in Christian homes. We don't really have dramatic tales of conversion. We can't always look back on our former manner of life and rejoice in the new freedom that we have in Christ. And yet, we do struggle. For even if we were not brought up thinking that greed, lust, pride, and so on were all just fine, we still do find in our hearts, in our minds, that which pulls us away from God. But you are in Christ. And you can say no to the thoughts and the instincts that you know are contrary to the life that you've been given. You can live and walk in the light of Christ, doing good as you have received good, knowing that no matter what happens, nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ. Nothing will change his calling on your life. So you can be at peace and go forth from here to love, forgive, share freely, be gracious, don't cheat, don't get wrapped up in this world as if it were your true home. You are being conformed to Christ, molded and shaped into his likeness. So rejoice, don't fight it. You are the treasure that Christ gave himself for. So let's live like it. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.